This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The thing about air pollution is that it doesn't just stop at the state border. Marketplace is not some engulf and devour corporation. It is a nonprofit and it is listener supported. So to keep our coverage strong and relevant, what you could do is make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will really help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by the end of this year. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. When air pollution crosses state lines, which is pretty much all the time, which state is responsible for the cleanup? Now, that's the question in two stories involving the Environmental Protection Agency. Today, governors from northeastern states will ask the EPA to crack down on Midwestern and Appalachian states. And later this week, the U.S. Supreme Court will consider another side of the question. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has been taking a look. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, David.
So what are these northeastern governors looking for?
Basically, they want their neighbors, states like Ohio and Kentucky, to play by the same kinds of rules these northeastern states have been playing under since the 1990s. Air quality in these northeastern states has been pretty bad, still is. So the EPA has required those states to enact strict pollution controls. And according to a New York Times report, governors from these states say they've done everything they can, and they say the real problem is dirty air blowing in from the Midwest and Appalachia. And those states have less stringent controls, and they produce a ton of emissions. But prevailing winds carry the bad stuff to the northeastern states. So states like New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts say they get left holding the bag.
But how does this relate to the U.S. Supreme Court case coming up later this week?
Well, here we've got the EPA itself basically saying it wants to enforce rules like the ones the governors are asking for. It actually made a rule in 2011. The official name is the Cross-State Air Pollution Rule. People call it the Good Neighbor Rule. And an appeals court ruled the EPA went too far. This rule would have affected a bunch of states with coal-fired power plants, and the emissions blow downwind and mess up the air in neighboring states. So the polluting states would have had to cut way down on emissions, probably by burning less coal, shutting down some power plants. The EPA has appealed, and the Supreme Court's going to hear the arguments tomorrow.
Marketplace's Dan Weissman in Chicago. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
This week, Congress faces another big deadline. On Friday, a proposal is due from a Congressional Budget Committee, and while it seems progress is being made, there are other key deadlines looming. Government funding runs out in mid-January, and the U.S. is on track to hit the debt ceiling in February. Marketplace's David Gura has more on Washington's deadline game.
These days, it's kind of like this. Congress has a deadline for, say, passing a budget. And we get another short-term spending bill. Lawmakers hit the snooze button. We get perilously close to that debt ceiling again. There's some horse trading. And we're solvent for a few more months.
This is the symbol of how dysfunctional Congress and the president have become.
Sarah Binder teaches political science at George Washington University.
The issue here is, first of all, why do they keep setting up the alarm clock that enables them to push the snooze button?
Binder says one reason is that if leaders make a serious proposal too soon, they give up bargaining power. So what's a solution? Well, maybe the deadline has to be a real deadline. That's according to Laura Stack. She's an efficiency expert who calls herself the productivity pro.
The problem is Congress never seems to make one that is immovable. It always seems to be a moving target.
Stack, who works with corporate clients, says she can't believe the lack of urgency in Washington.
This is not how I'm used to things happening in business. I mean, we need to move, move, move.
Bob Posen is the author of a book called Extreme Productivity.
You could look at what Congress is doing is procrastinating.
Something that definitely led me to hit the snooze button a couple of times back in college.
People have lots of reasons for procrastinating, but probably the best reason is that this is a very difficult task.
In this case, a budget or tax reform. Norm Ornstein is a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and he says there's a consequence to Congress making and missing so many deadlines.
We've become deadened to them to a degree.
Friday's deadline, there's no consequence for missing it.
The December 13th deadline is a real one, but it's not the real, real one.
Which makes it easier to put off until tomorrow what lawmakers could have done today. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace is listener-supported. I know that just goes in one ear and out the other, but it means it is supported by listeners like you. So to keep our coverage compelling, up-to-date, up-to-the-minute, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will support your daily dose of business insight from us. Help us keep you up-to-date and well-informed wherever you are. You can donate by going to marketplace.org by the end of the year, December 31st. Thanks. New Jersey's fourth consecutive black bear hunt starts today to keep the bear numbers down. And as Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports, for some people, the hunt is good business.
About 3 years ago, guess where the highest density of black bears in the entire country was?
The northwest section of New Jersey.
Who knew? That's Larry Raganese with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection.
We were at more than 3 bears per square mile.
The bears were getting to people's trash, even breaking into their homes. So in 2010, the state started this annual week-long bear hunt. For people like Chuck Rogers, who runs Killer's Deer Processing, he processes wild meat, it's a nice seasonal boost to his income.
The bear hunt brings in a lot of guys that necessarily wouldn't be hunting those areas of New Jersey. The local delis and diners and whatnot, their business, the bear hunt probably bumps it up 25%.
Hunters pay about $800 to skin and process a bear, so with 5,000 bears hunted last year in the tri-state area, that adds up. Not everyone's bullish on bears, though. John Person runs Game Butcher in Lebanon, New Jersey.
To me, the bear are a nuisance.
They take 3 times as long to process as deer and don't make them as much money. So one way or another, it's going to be a bear market this week in Jersey. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
Of course, Sabri. And there's news today. Sysco is buying U.S. Foods for $3.5 billion. Why would Sysco buy a food services company? Because I am talking about SYSCO, the institutional food company, not Sysco CISCO, the computer network equipment company. Although that would have been a cool merger. Internet routers that squeeze out mashed potatoes, beef, and gravy. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.